Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa has joined us on Sports Byline USA. As I pointed out a little bit earlier, first manager ever to win multiple pennants in both the American League and the National League, and one of only two managers to win World Series in both leagues, two of those with the St. Louis Cardinals, one with the Oakland A's. Those A's teams, I was certainly around when you were managing them and taking them to World Series playoffs and everything, and I have not yet been able to put my finger on what made them the successful team that they were, because the personalities were so diverse, Tony, and you and your coaching staff were able to mold them together. Can you help me understand a little bit better why that success came about?
I think they were just a real outstanding group that was very talented, but the guts of that team was very competitive and very proud of the fact that they were going to go out there and really stick their nose in there and try to beat you. And one of the realities, you know, a lot of people, when they come in, I'm talking about people in uniform or scouts, they would kind of, you know, see all the flash and dash, because we had some powerful-looking personalities, pitchers and hitters, and they kind of thought that we were, you know, like a circus. I remember Dick Williams one time told me, I had played for him, and they were the age of 71, and he said, well, you know, you guys look good, but it's going to be a circus. And when he saw how committed our guys were to playing the game correctly, you know, you get a Carney Lansford and a Dave Henderson, and on the pitching side, guys like Stu and Welshie, you know what I mean? You know, and you got Ekin Hunt in the back. Our club was much more basic as far as coming to work every day. And not, it wasn't showtime. It was baseball time. And we ended up playing the game really, really well. And it matched our talent. So we were an awesome club. And, I can't pass this opportunity without, you know, degrading myself, because I still find it hard to believe that we got into three World Series, only managed one, and I can look at 88 and 90 and feel like there were things that I could have done as a manager, because we should have won. But no disrespect to the Reds and the Dodgers, but, man, we had a great team and only won one and three. That's not acceptable.
One of the things you also said about those Oakland teams, we all know the way I manage most teams in Oakland. I told them what time the game started and who we were playing, that was it. Was it really that simple?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you write Dave Stewart in there as a starter, Bob Wheel. These guys, they take the ball and they go. You hand the ball to Peck at the end, or, you know, and the game's over. The players, it was a push-button team if ever there was one. I mean, you wanted power, they give it to you, speed, defense. But, like I say, the staff, including myself, we had tremendous affection and respect for these guys, because they really, really didn't want to take their talent and their personalities for granted. They really wanted to be ball players and be an outstanding team.
I think it's amazing that you got so much out of so many players, particularly the ones that didn't really have a history of being great players before they came under your tutelage. And I'm talking somebody like Dave Stewart, who had been a 29-year-old journeyman pitching out of the bullpen, and of course he became a Bulldog, 4 20-game win seasons. And then Dennis Eckersley simply says, the Hall of Fame reliever, that for without you, he would not have made it to the Hall of Fame. What was it that you did that got him to that level of competition?
Oh, another good question, Ron. I'm going to patch it back when I see you, because what I did was brought Dave Duncan in as a pitching coach, because, we're always going to give the players a credit, because they're the ones that are out there competing. And Dave, you know, he was just a stallion there as a starter, and Eck was amazing. But there is an important role, especially in our time where the guys are rushed to the big leagues. You need to coach. You need to teach at a big league level. And Dave Duncan, in my opinion, is the greatest pitching coach in the history of the game. And, you know, he just had this knack of spotting a tweak or an adjustment there, recognizing a role, and anything good we did from the pitching side, Dave Duncan was responsible.
And, of course, you had explosive players as well. Ricky Henderson, of course, being one. But with Ricky, I always wondered how you were able to get him to focus on a consistent basis and perform the way he did. And I guess I can only assume that really what you did was you channeled him. You didn't try to control him.
I think Ricky's one of the most misunderstood guys, because, you know, he comes across a lot more arrogant at times, and, well, you know, because he speaks in the third person, things like that. Ricky was a heck of a lot better teammate than people, the media really gave him credit for. Guys really enjoyed Ricky. prime time guys of our generation. I mean, a guy that the team planned, schemed to stop, and nobody could, including us, for 10 years. You know, we went against him in Chicago and Oakland when he was in Oakland and New York. But in Ricky's case, you know, I think it's just a guy who had great ability. But we had tremendous team leadership. So a guy like Dave Stewart, Ricky did not want to be, did not earn Dave's respect. Dave Henderson was a very unsung hero in our, because he played between Jose and Ricky. And he really took charge out there. And if he saw a little lapse in concentration, he'd get their attention and he had their respect. So, you know, Carney, Dave, you know, Steiny, these guys, you know, Walt Weiss was a real tough winning player. Gags, TP. I mean, think about it. You know, it's a great team.
It certainly was. And I know with the Bash brother, there's Mark McGuire and Jose Canseco. I guess Jose was the only one that maybe needed some handling as well. But you seem to be able to keep that where maybe it was the discipline in the locker room, as you said, those leaders there that helped keep things on a stable level.
Well, I do believe, you know, that, you know, we made sure the coaches, you know, they had their respect to earn, and we knew that the players looked up to some guys. But, you know, there is a role for the head coach or the manager. You know, there are some decisions that have to be made, you know, a direction and philosophy or a strategy or whatever, you know, and if you're the leader, you're supposed to lead. So, you know, the guys knew I wasn't afraid. I may not be too smart at time, but I wasn't afraid. And you know, they responded to that. But the key to it, more than anything else, Ron, and you were around, our whole organization started with Walter, but we really worked to create a personal relationship with each guy. And that really stands the test of the season or several seasons, because they knew that we cared about them. And Jose's case, you know, it was starting out well. He just got rich early and lost his way for a while, and then by the time he got smart and his body started to betray him. But fortunately, here in the last couple of years, you know, we've talked a little bit, and he'll tell you he made some mistakes. But he's a great talent, and, you know, if he could have been just a little smarter about understanding that getting 5 years of $5 million is only money, and, you know, his professionalism would be his mark carrying forward, I think he was just too young. And, by the way, happened to a lot of guys getting a lot of money before they were ready to handle it.
After those years in Oakland, you move on to the St. Louis Cardinals for some 16 years, and I always thought you were the perfect manager for St. Louis, because I kind of consider being in the heartland of the country, in the middle of the country. It's got such a reputation with the fans. It's a regional franchise. And when you look at the three stops that you had and the personalities of the various places that they play in, tell me a little bit about how you feel about the Cardinals being where they are, the fan base, how it supports them, and how comfortable you felt in St. Louis.
Well, I had a little heads up as a kid. You know, I was born in Tampa, and my dad worked very hard for 6 days, and we loved baseball. On Sunday, sometimes, you know, we'd make it at least once or twice a spring, we'd go over to St. Pete to see the Yankees and the Cardinals. So, you know, I've been aware of the Cardinals for years, and all the 16 years of American League, you know, I knew about their history, watching them play in three World Series. It's a very unique situation, and, you know, you don't want to compare the A's fans and the Chicago fans, but, you know, it is a religion there, and they've been blessed with each other because they give you incredible support, win or lose. They really take you in like family, and they've been blessed because so many of their great players are great people, and they've given it back to them. So, you know, you walk in there and you feel the tradition, you feel the passion that they have for their team and to compete, and you really feel a responsibility not to let them down, and you want to add to it. And, you know, it's a major asset, and, you know, motivation in a long season, you know, you get your focus, all that stuff helps you deal with all the distractions today, and it gets you where it's supposed to be. Like, just play the team, let's play against the team on the other side and see if we get the score in our favor. And the fans they reward you day in and day out with enthusiasm, and, you know, 3 million people come out.
as you know, there's a saying, different courses are different horses for different courses. And so in St. Louis, the players that you had over that 16-year period, did you adapt in any way the way you managed St. Louis as compared to either at Oakland or Chicago?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the first lessons you learn. You don't take your style to the team. You should know enough about the game to adapt your style to the team you have. And by the way, as you know, like for the A's is a good example. You know, we had some guys that could really hit the ball with power, you know, so you wanted to feature that power. But then we had a bunch of guys that could really play the little ball game. And so we could play, you know, hit and run and stealing with the best of them. So, you know, not only do you adjust it according to your talent, but if you can have different parts of a looking team based on the talent. So, you know, that was one year. I can remember, was it in St. Louis? I think it was like 2001 or something, where everybody got hurt and we led the league in squeeze plays, you know, and the year before we led in home runs. I mean, so just, it really isn't that tough. It's just figuring out what guys can do and then don't ask them to do something unreasonable and play to their strengths.
Who were the players in St. Louis, as you reflect back on those 16 years, maybe someone well-known or somebody who really contributed in a way that most people wouldn't appreciate except for Tony La Russa?
Well, Rodney, if you figure that, you know, we were, I don't know what, let's see, five, you know, in the 16 years, like we got into maybe 10, 11 playoffs. I mean, early on, you know, you had, starting pitchers like, you know, Matt Morris. We had Darryl Kyle, who was with us for 2 years before he died, and he was just incredible. You know, then later on, Chris Carpenter, Adam Wainwright. I mean, these guys are just true number ones. On a position player, you have to start with Albert. In 2001, he came along and for 11 years, had the best 11 years, first in the history of the game, and just the consummate team player, do anything to win a game, defensively, base running, hitting, cheering. Jim Edmonds, right before Albert got there, we went for a while with Jim Edmonds and Scott Rowland. And one year we had like most valuable three, you know, with Albert and those three guys. And we had a great general manager, Walt Jocketty. You know, he had a knack into making that July deal. One year he brought Will Clark from the Giants in there that really helped us. And the next year he brought Scott Rowland and Chuck Finley and Larry Walker. These were all Woody Williams. These guys all came midseason and gave us a huge, huge boost. So, David Eckstein was the MVP of the 2006 World Series. Just tremendous guts and a world champion twice. David Freese had the magical 2011. I mean, you just go on and on. I'm glad I remember this because I'd be calling you back. Had the ability, you know, the wonderful privilege of watching as great a catcher as has ever been behind the plate, and he's still playing for the Cardinals. His name is Yadi Molina. That guy is so, so good that he's worth the price of admission just to watch him.
We only have about a minute left, but one of my favorite memories of our friendship, Tony, was the time we were all having dinner in North Beach, and it was after you had lost the World Series to the Boston Red Sox, and there were four people who were from the New England area. They sent over a bottle of wine, and then when they left, they stopped and said, by the way, we think you're the best manager in baseball.
Right.
And you said, that's easy for you to say. You won the World Series.
Well, ever since 2004, I can't walk into Boston and never pick up a check because, you know, my managing helped them break that 86-year curse. But I can remember that dinner. We had a great dinner with Carmen Policy, and Bill was there, and just some wonderful people.
We got about 30 seconds left. Is there a particular memory about your career as a player or even as a manager that it really is in your mind and there forever?
Ronnie would be one of the surprising ones. I kind of referred to it earlier. We've had enough wins. We've had some tough losses. But the number one best thing that I carry forward are the relationships that we developed over the 30 years. So if we see the White Sox player, coaches to player, manager, same thing in the Oakland time in St. Louis, guys are embracing. I mean, there's probably just a handful of guys that I didn't get along with, and those relationships mean the most to me.
Tony, I want to thank you very much. Your friendship over the years has meant a great deal to me, not the number of times we see each other, but the quality of time when we are together. Congratulations on your induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So deserved. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, and you keep getting the word out on sports to your national audience, probably worldwide audience. Nice going.
Thank you. Tony La Russa with us again, 34 seasons managing the White Sox, Oakland, and the Cardinals. We continue on Sports Byline.